Our reading tonight, if you have your Bibles, is taken from the book of Acts and chapter 4 and verse 29. And the one thing that has gripped me all week as I've prayed for you is just one little phrase. And the little phrase, I hope, is a great encouragement to you and a great affirmation to what you've been doing in the last few years. But the little phrase that gripped me was, and when they prayed, and when they prayed. And every time I prayed about what I should share with you, this little phrase just, it's like I just couldn't get rid of it, and when they prayed. And tonight my job is to encourage you in your prayer. I know we pray a lot, but to really affirm you and to almost allow God to do something new into all of our prayer life. And so verse 29, and here's a prayer. This is a wonderful prayer. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thus dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And I want to encourage you that the places you inhabit in the new thing that God is about to do, that we're leaving for a breakthrough, I believe that this will be a shaken place. And you will be a shaken people. And the places that you go to work in or school in or study in or inhabit, those places will be known as shaken places. And when they prayed, something amazing happens when we pray. And sometimes we have to pray a long time to see a shaking and to know a shaking and to see God answer prayer the way that I think he's about to answer all those prayers that you've been heaping in for years. Malcolm, I think, said he'd been doing it for 30 years. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. The word shaken means to move something by force or by power. And in my lifetime, I've only had 3 or 4 experiences of being shaken. And the first two, I don't think I really understood what was happening. I think I was too immature in the Lord. I was at a conference. I was a speaker at a conference in Shropshire. And a whole church had wanted me to take them through on retreat. And the leader suggested that we all get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we pray before the teaching began the next morning. That's why I thought that was a good idea, and I got up at 5. And what I noticed when I got up at 5, it was only the ladies that got up at 5. And there wasn't a single man in the room. This is no condemnation on the men. And that morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, the women were praying. I mean, if I had been a man, I'd have been scared. But the women were praying, Lord, just shake them. Lord, just get them out of bed. Lord, just strengthen them. Lord, make them giants, Lord. And they just, for a whole hour, I couldn't even join in because I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. I was a bit afraid at their intensity of prayer. And at 6:03 a.m, there was an earthquake in Shropshire. And the place where we were meeting to pray was shaken. And pictures fell off the walls and all the cutlery and the breakfast dishes all fell off. And the men were literally shaken out of bed. And they all got up in various forms of undress, which I won't go into. But they all got up and they came running down and they fell on their faces and started to pray. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. And we had the most amazing prayer conference. And I don't know if you believe in synchronicity of God or coincidence. I don't know whether to say Shropshire was due an earthquake or that those women stirred up something and God shook the place and shook the men and shook the gathering. And we were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing. I had to go to New Zealand a couple of years ago and speak at New Wine. And the place where we gathered, there was a literal earthquake. I was with Howard Espy and his wife and Vicky. And we had just finished ministering there for a week, and we were told to go and rest in a farmhouse. And we got to this farmhouse, and Howard Espy, some of you will know him from Clan, big guy, and he just sort of went out on the sofa and said, "Oh, at last." And just then there was a real earthquake. And Howard, I have never seen him be so scared in my life. He jumped up and said, "Help us, Jesus, help us, Jesus." And he ran out. And so I'm telling you this to tell you something else. I'm telling you that moments when I've been shaken in a real earthquake, I in immaturity, didn't know if that was God or circumstances or something. But more recently, in the last few years, some of you know I go to Cambodia, and I visit a church en route to Cambodia in Kuala Lumpur. And for the last few years, there has been a movement of prayer in the church I visit. It started with just 30 people committing themselves to pray on a Wednesday evening. And the 30 have become 1,000 every Wednesday night. And the intensity of their prayer is jaw-dropping. And when I'm there, they give me a big lectern because I actually can't stand. It feels to me as if the floor is shaking. It feels to me like the ground is shaking. And God is doing a new thing through their prayers. And I've got a little video clip of what happens to the people of God when the spirit of prayer comes upon them and starts to shake them into a new level of prayer. Adam, maybe we could watch this video. Whoa. They fall over because they can't stand. I fall over. They all pray in their knees. I call them a kneeling people. But it's because the place of where we gather is shaken. And the question I've been sitting with, I felt the Lord really laid it on my heart tonight to say, and when you pray, yes, they prayed, but when you pray, and when you pray, you see, that's what's on my heart, and when you pray, and when you pray, and when they pray. And what I want to say to you, in the book of Acts, prayer is mentioned 31 times, and every time it's mentioned, it precedes something that's quite spectacular and quite miraculous. And I want to encourage you, I know you're a praying people and a kneeling people and a crying people. But God, I think, is going to really, really come and allow you to pray with intensity, a jaw-dropping intensity, and a new boldness and a new refreshing on your prayer in order to herald in some of the new things that Malcolm has been speaking about tonight. And I want us to think about what this word shaken and what this might mean, and how we maybe have to shift our minds. As I said at the beginning, sometimes when I've been shaken, I don't know if I've actually known, is that God or is that just things that happen? And on my way home on the airplane yesterday, I was reading Pete Gregg's new book, Dirty Glory. And his job is to stir up prayer with the 24/7 prayer people. And he really excites people in prayer, but then he gets amazing answers to prayer. And he told a story that really, in his book, it really gripped me. And the story was that he and his wife, Sammy, were going out for dinner one night and the babysitter had arrived. And they decided to go up and just kiss their wee boys goodnight, 4-year-old and a baby. And Pete Gregg's wife has had a brain tumor and she takes strong anticonvulsant drugs and very, very powerful medication. And she hides this medication far away from the children. And before they were ready to go out, she felt led by God to go and count her medication pills. And she laid them all out, yellow and pink and red. And she said to Pete, "There's 20 pills missing." And he immediately pulled the covers off of little Josh Hudson's bed. And there was a pink pill here and a green pill here. And he was unconscious in a sort of coma and he had started convulsing. And he immediately screamed, phone an ambulance. And she immediately got to her phone and started to phone the 24/7 prayer persons who are their special prayer cover people. And she got everyone praying and the ambulance came. The child was still unconscious, still convulsing. And they were praying and the 24/7 people were praying. And they got to the hospital and the head of the poisons unit met them and the child was still unconscious and the head of the poisons unit started to examine him. And the little boy woke up and he seemed fine, but they insisted on taking bloods and they did all the blood work up and there was no poison in his blood. And they went back home and they searched everywhere. They saw two pills in his mouth and they searched everywhere for the 18 pills that were missing. And they couldn't find the 18 pills. And Pete Gregg helped me. He said, how are we to understand this? This helped me because sometimes when I'm in a shaking, I don't know if I fully understand it. And he said, either we could say, well, it was just a coincidence. He was in a coma, it was just a coincidence. He probably did. Maybe God didn't lead Sammy to count all her pills. Maybe that was a coincidence. And he said, the only way we must start to speak of these things is to give glory to God. God led Sammy to count the drugs. God put it on the heart of the 24/7 to pray. And when they prayed, and when you pray and when they prayed, there was a miraculous and supernatural intervention that saved that little boy's life. And I want us to start thinking, oh my goodness, what might happen when we pray? And the intensity of our prayer under the anointing of the Holy Spirit starts to go to a new level when we pray. When they prayed, the place that they were gathered was shaken. If I could have a big piece of white paper and if you started to shout out to me all the places where you gather as the people of God, some might shout, oh, Balerno Church, some might shout Livingston Church, some might shout such and such a university, some might shout my office, my this, my home. And probably we spend a lot of time writing down what you're defining as your place. And I think your place could be your home. I think your place could be the place where you sense your spiritual atmosphere. I think the place where you gather could be the place where you normally pray. And in those places, they were shaken. Acts 16, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And what I want you to start expecting that when you pray, you actually could start causing earthquakes, the foundations of people's lives to be changed. An earthquake starts with a deep underground movement and sometimes brings things from the underground up into the surface. And sometimes an earthquake comes and topples high things till they fall down. And when we pray, and when you pray, it's as if the things that are deep and invisible within you that have been cast down start to be lifted up. Let every valley be lifted up. And when you pray, it's as if the high things that would cause pride in our lives will start to come crashing down. And when they prayed, and in our text tonight, when they prayed, there was earthquakes. When they prayed, they were shaken. It says when they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We are a Holy Spirit church. And without a doubt, the presence of the Lord at times, all the time, is amazing. But there's a new level that I'm anticipating when you pray. You see, when they prayed in Acts, in our text tonight, they prayed, Lord, stretch forth your hands. I thought they were amazingly bold. Some of you know when I pray, I kind of sort of go, help, help. And my prayers aren't at all like the prayers in the book of Acts. But as I read that prayer in the book of Acts, Lord, stretch forth your hand. And as you stretch forth your hand, would you move with signs and wonders and healing? And as you stretch forth your hand, would you change the places we inhabit? And would you change the people that we know? And would you move in a miraculous and amazing power? That's the sort of prayer that shakes places. And I thought, I need to sort of rev up my engine a little bit and kind of, because my prayers have been kind of, help me, God. Wave to me if you know what I'm talking about. Stretch forth your hands. And when they prayed, the prison doors opened. And I started to think, when you pray for people all around here and in Livingston, prison doors over their heart, prison doors over their mind, imprisoned thoughts, doors that are causing blindness, doors that are causing deafness. Let those doors be open when we pray. Let there be earthquakes. Let their lives be shaken and moved when we pray. When we pray, new doors of understanding. When we pray, new doors of opportunity. When we pray, new doors where people would just start flowing in here because they know that you're a shaken people in a shaken place and that you're praying for signs and wonders. I felt I was to say some things to you prophetically. And I felt the Lord wanted me to say to you, the atmosphere is changing here in this place. And I felt that God was saying, as you pray for me to stretch forth my hand, I will stretch forth. And I will close that gap between heaven and earth. And I will not stop stretching until that new move and that new day and that new way is accomplished and released in this place. And that's why that prayer, stretch forth. Lord, close the gap. Come on down. All that is in heaven, let it be here on earth. And when they prayed, something happened. When they prayed, the place was shaken. That means the place you inhabit will change. When they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That means the people you're praying for will change. When they prayed, they began to speak God's word with boldness. And I think what that means is that when we pray, we'll begin in this new season and in this new day and on the edge of this new breakthrough, we as a people of God will begin to speak God's word with boldness. There are some parallels between Acts 2 and Acts 4. You'll realize that in Acts 2, day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Acts 4, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 4, they begin to speak with a fearless confidence is the way we would describe that. And I started to think, Lord, how do we get into this? I mean, some of you might be in it. Wave to me if you're already in this already. I wanted to bring a little step and stand up as if I felt, if I could just put a little step down. I maybe pray a little higher or stretch a little further. And I started to think, how do we pray like this? How do we get into being a people that will be a shaken people in a shaken place, that doors will open and signs and wonders will spring forth? And I went back to the scripture in Matthew 6, verse 6. Jesus says, when you pray, Jesus helps us to understand how we should pray. When you pray, he says you don't pray like the Pharisees with vain repetitions. He says you go into a secret place and you close the door. I started to think, Jesus probably didn't pray very often in the inside because he walked a lot and he was on the mountain, he was in boats, he was along the beach. And I thought, he's not actually talking about a little special prayer closet. We won't go into prayer closets, but it was an inner door. And all week I've been trying this. You see, Jesus said to me, I was saying, well, how do we pray? How can we become a shaken people? How can we be a people that will change the atmosphere and change the topography and cause these earthquakes to happen when we pray? And I started to feel that the Lord was saying, close the door. Find a place where you can go and close the door. And I thought, that doesn't mean a door in my house. The internal doors for me that I've to close, and I've put them on the screen, I felt I was a big one for me is the close the door of distraction. I've got my son and daughter-in-law and my little two-year-old baby grandson, Henry. And it's so easy to just play with him. Go, 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 boo, 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 boo. Or Superman, or... And I love it, and broom-brooms and choo-choos, and that's one day gone, and I think, oh gosh, I have to speak, and then broom-broom and choo-choo, and then this and this and iPads, and when you pray. And I know this week I had to close the door of distraction. I get easily distracted. To close some other doors of unbelief. I had to close a little door, it's a personal thing, of hopelessness. And what I realized as I closed those inner doors, something in the inside started to open up. I felt suddenly there was an openness to the Holy Spirit. I felt faith rising. I felt there was an openness in my understanding and an openness to people. And I suddenly felt there was an openness to the voice of God inside of me. When you pray, you see, when you pray, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will speak God's word with boldness. And I'm learning to close all the doors inside me that would take me away from hearing his voice, that I might speak his word. His word is a two-edged sword. From the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. I want to speak his word, not words that come from a distracted mind, not words that come because I've got so many doors internally to me, so many people. I want to speak that which I hear in the secret place. And yesterday I shut the door of distraction. And I spent a little while praying for you. And the voice of God was very clear. I prayed for you and for other things that I have to do. But I felt tonight there was someone here who's feeling very threatened and very fearful in your circumstances, and God wants to break in. Feel that the Lord wants to open new doors for that person, particularly in the area of new employment. And I also feel as I close doors of distraction, the Lord put it on my heart to say, many, many, many people will come running through these doors, returning, running to Christ, to come back to Christ. And when you pray, and when you pray, and when they prayed, the place they inhabit was shaken. And when they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they prayed, and here's the whole point, they all began to speak God's word with boldness. This would be amazing. You would be like killer sheep. You know, you would be so, you know, those scary Christians. You know, knocking on doors, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not? You know, sort of. Going into the pub with Malcolm, going, oh, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm just not like that, and I'm a wee bit scared, but tonight I have to pray. See, I'm a wee bit scared. Sometimes it's a great responsibility, because if I say, you as a company are going to start to speak God's word with fearless confidence, and the places you inhabit will be shaken. And you see, sometimes we don't speak because we're ensnared. We speak the wrong things. Sometimes we snare our hearts with hopelessness. And we say, it'll never change. It'll never matter. It'll never happen. And we snare our own hearts and we snare our own minds with hopelessness. And David in Psalm 91 gives us a little help here. How do we speak God's word with boldness? David said, he who dwells in the shadow of Almighty God, he will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And then David says this word, and I will say to the Lord, I will say of the Lord. You see, he's not ensnared by hopelessness. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress and he is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my high tower. I will say of the Lord that he can keep me from falling. I will say of the Lord that in this place he can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think or imagine. And the people of God begin to speak God's word with boldness. And what if we were all doing that tonight? I will say. You might have people in this area. I will say of the Lord. I will say to the Lord. I will say this. And we start to confess truth that is a two-edged sharp sword. And the places you gather in Balerno, in Livingston, in Edinburgh, will be shaken. Wouldn't that be amazing when you pray? And so here's what I want us to do. I would like Leslie and the worship team to go back. I would like us to stand. I'm going to pray for you, and then Malcolm is going to lead us as we pray together. But I'd like you, we're asking God to stretch forth his hand. I'd like us to stretch forth our hands, if you would tonight stretch forth your hand. Father God, thank you for encouraging us that our place here will be shaken, and that we will be a shaken people in a shaken place, and that we can be a mountain-moving people, an earthquake-stimulating people. And Father, we stretch forth our hands tonight, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you, King of Heaven, would stretch forth your hand and close the gap this night between heaven and between earth. And we pray, Father God, for a fearless confidence on this body of Christ. We pray that as you stretch forth your hand, you will release signs, wonders, miracles, and healing. And we pray for those that we love, that our lives would be shaken, and that tonight we would be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, and that there would be an overflow of truth from our bellies and from our mouths. And so we lift up our hearts and our voices to you this night. Just start to pray for people you know just now. Just pray, just shout out. Pray for their souls. Pray for their healing. Pray for their miracles. Let's just pray. Pray as they prayed, and when you pray, and when you pray, Lord, we're praying tonight. We're praying for those we know. We're praying for those we love. We're praying for our church.
Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, we pray.